Praise God for the anchor.
Yes, amen.
I think we just lost half of our crowd. But that's a good thing. That's
yes,
a good thing.
Is.
We didn't
amen.
Lose them. They're just going to another room.
Yes, amen.
Or two rooms. I'm thankful that you are here this morning, and I'm thankful that I'm here to kind of help Brother Tommy in his suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for your prayers for him, for direction and healing. God can heal him.
Amen.
If he can create the world with his word.
Yes. Bless his name.
He ought to be able to send healing.
Yes,
and he chooses
can.
Different many avenues to do that. And I know that. So we also pray for wisdom that Brother Tommy and Miss Brenda will take that correct avenue. So,
amen.
If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15. And this morning we're going to be talking about the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father. You ever wonder what God is like?
Yeah.
Maybe even what he looks like.
Yeah.
You know, none of us have ever seen him. The Bible says no man has ever seen him. But we do. We have these thoughts in our mind. What's God like? And I'm sure there's a lot of things about God that we won't know until eternity, but there's a lot of things about God that we can know, and all we have to do is read his word.
Amen.
And he has put in his word a description,
yes,
of what he wants us to see of who he is,
right?
What he's like. And here in the book of Luke, chapter 15, he shows us some things. We're actually going to read the whole chapter. It's not real long, but we're going to read the whole chapter, so just bear with me here. Luke chapter 15, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them.
Amen.
And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance.
Amen.
Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth.
Amen.
And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, that's a good time of moment right there,
yes,
of
sir.
Life.
Amen.
For any one of us. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion.
Amen.
And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
Amen.
And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry.
Amen.
Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him.
Amen.
And he answered, said unto his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine.
Amen.
It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you would please guide me. Help me to say only what I should and deliver your message to your people. Lord, you've got a message for us, and we need it.
Yes, God.
Lord, I pray that you would help us to draw closer to you and have a better understanding of you because of what you show us this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Notice in verse 1 that the publicans, who were tax collectors, and the sinners, who were the unsaved or maybe the unchurched, they gravitated to Jesus. Why was that? I believe it was because of his love for them, and they sensed it. He certainly showed it. Because he healed them.
Amen.
He also showed it because he was willing to spend time with them, not shun them. Because they were different. They were sinners. And yet the Pharisees and the scribes, what we would consider church-going people, that's what they were.
Right.
They were the religious crowd. They're the ones that accused Jesus of receiving sinners. What an awful thing in their mind. Yet, that's what Jesus was here for.
Amen. Amen. Thank God.
The question is, what are we here for? If we are followers of Jesus, if we are supposed to be a mirrored image of Him, shouldn't we do the same?
Yeah.
I think sometimes we are afraid of how others might think of us because of being seen with a drunk. Or a harlot, or someone that has been trapped by Satan in some way. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
True.
It's difficult to share Jesus with someone until we've shown Jesus to them. It's not something that you can fake your way through either.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 8:3 says, "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." That simply means that if you love God, people are going to know it.
Amen.
But the opposite is also true. Mm-hmm. If you don't love God, people are going to know it.
Amen.
It's not something you can hide either way.
That's right.
It didn't surprise me that people gravitated to Jesus, mm-hmm. but they didn't gravitate to the scribes and the Pharisees.
Amen.
Why? Well, it was evident they didn't care about him.
Mm.
It was evident that Jesus did.
Amen.
In verse 2, Jesus was accused of gladly associating with sinners.
Mm.
And he didn't deny it, by the way. I do want to make a point here that if you have a weakness, you probably shouldn't be hanging out with people who are
mm-hmm.
suffering from that same weakness.
Right. Amen.
If you have a problem with alcohol, you shouldn't be hanging out with people who drink alcohol.
Amen.
That's not what is being taught here in this scripture.
Good point.
Okay. But Jesus had no weakness.
Amen.
He could hang out with anybody he wanted to and could help them and would help them if they would allow him to. We have weaknesses. And we have to be careful of our weaknesses and not to subject ourselves to a situation that's going to cause us to falter.
Amen.
Okay? But how often do we get accused of welcoming sinners?
Mm.
Or do we just avoid them? By the way, in a sense, we're all sinners.
Amen.
Some sinners have been saved by grace.
That's good. Amen.
And some haven't.
Right.
We're all struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Christians.
Yeah.
I was reminded of that not long ago. A friend of mine was looking to hire a welder, and he knew I was a welder. So he called me, and I said, "Well, I like welding, but I like climbing in trees more. But I know somebody that could probably be a help to you. He is a Christian, and by the way, this man who called me, he was a Christian. Good Christian guy.
Mm.
And he owned the business and looking for the welder." And I said, "Well, I got a friend of mine who's a welder. And he is a Christian, but he's struggling." And this man over the phone, he says, "Well, Bruce, we're all struggling."
Mm, that's right. That's right.
And the light came on in my head because apparently, for however long, I had a pharisaical mindset that I wasn't struggling. But I was, and I am.
Mm-hmm.
And you are too. We're all sinners, is what I'm saying. But some of us are sinners saved by grace.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still struggling. Never look down on other people because of their sin.
Amen.
Their sin is just different than yours.
Amen.
Verse 3, the Bible says that he spake this parable. Notice it says this parable, and when we read through this entire chapter, there's three.
Yeah.
It says this parable, not these parables, because they're all the same. As far as the point that he's driving. It's not about the lost coin.
Mm.
It's not about the lost sheep. And it's really not even about the lost son.
Mm.
It's about the Father. The heart of the Father.
Yeah.
And how he responds when we go astray.
Amen.
That's what this chapter is about.
Amen.
That's what this parable is trying to describe to us. Okay? One parable is describing the lost coin that the lady lost, turns her house upside down to find it.
Yeah.
Finds it and rejoices and goes to her friends and lets them in on the happiness.
Yes, amen.
The lost sheep describes the unsaved people out in the world. God loves them. And he wants them back.
Yes, he does. Amen.
He puts forth strong effort to find them.
Yes.
Not that he doesn't know where they're at. They don't know where they're at.
Amen.
They don't know where he's at.
That's right.
They're lost.
That's good.
When they get saved, there's great rejoicing. The Bible says, in the presence of the angels. It doesn't say that the angels were rejoicing.
No.
Look at the wording. It says that there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Who is in the presence of the angels? God is. God is the one rejoicing.
That's good.
God is the one hunting us down. By the way, you didn't go looking for him.
Amen.
I didn't either.
Amen.
He came looking for me.
Thank
when
you,
I wasn't looking for him. In fact, was looking to run from him.
Thank you, Jesus, for help.
Right? Amen. The Bible says that no one will come to Jesus unless the Spirit of God draw him.
Amen.
Without God's mercy to send his Holy Spirit to us to find us in our pit.
Yeah.
We will never go looking for him. We didn't want him. We didn't want righteousness. We like our sin and want to continue in it. Aside from the Holy Spirit turning on the light in
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
Verse 8, the lost coin describes the people in church that are lost. Yes, there are people in church that have yet to bend the knee to Jesus. Right. They know him. They know of him. They believe he existed. They believe that he died on the cross. But the Bible says that the devils also believe and tremble. But they're not going to heaven. That tells us that belief in God doesn't get us to heaven. Believing in Jesus doesn't either. Remember when the demon possessed man ran up to Jesus, and the demons that were in the man cried out to Jesus, "Jesus, thou Son of God." They knew who he was. They believed in him. All I'm saying is that believing in Jesus doesn't get you to heaven.
Amen.
Just believing in Jesus. They did too.
Yeah, they did.
They're not going to heaven. There's something about repentance.
Yes.
That's right.
That changes everything.
Amen.
That's the one thing they're not willing to do. They're not willing to bend the knee and say, "Jesus, I repent. I turn away from my sin. It's wrong. It's wicked. I'm wicked.
Right.
I need you to change me, to clean me up, to save my soul." That's what the devils are not willing to do. And yes, there are people in churches all over the world that go to church every Sunday, maybe even on Wednesday, and they're not headed to heaven yet.
Oh,
There was a lady in the church I used to go to, Harvest Baptist Church. She was one of the associate pastor's wife. And he had been the associate pastor for, I don't know, 8-10 years. And she came forward one day and said, "I'm not saved. I need to get saved."
Amen.
And she did.
Praise God.
And I'm thankful for that, because she was under a little bit more limelight. And I'm sure that the devil gave her that same temptation and excuse to use of, "Well, you can't do that. You're the pastor's wife or the associate pastor's wife. Everyone's going to ask you why in the world. Who are you? Why would you?" And I'm sure that went through her mind, but she finally came to the resolution that none of that was worth dying and burning in hell for eternity.
Amen.
She came forward and she got saved.
Praise God.
Verse 11, the lost son is describing the backslidden believer. He had it real good.
Yeah, that's right.
The problem was, he couldn't see it. He wasn't satisfied with what he had. He had grown complacent. He had become discontent. You ever been there?
Yeah. Yes.
Your job is just, you don't like it. In fact, you hate it. Mondays are the worst day of the week because you have to go there. You don't like your kids. They're aggravating. They're noisy. They're constantly fighting with each other. They're disobedient.
Amen.
Your husband is aggravating. You don't even think half the time. Your wife, she's just weird. It's just, life is terrible. And that's how we live day to day. As Christians. And if we let these thoughts continue in our minds, we wind up getting to a point that we want to walk away. Or run away. That's what the prodigal son did, right?
Yeah.
He had plenty of food. He had people surrounding him that loved him.
Amen.
He had a bed to sleep on, a roof over his head.
God help us.
He had purpose. He had everything. You know, it's interesting how that when we become discontented or complacent, we begin to envy other people who have things that we think we want. We wish that we had what they have. We wish that we had who they have. Everybody is living the dream of someone else. Contentment is when we learn to live our own dream.
Amen. That's good.
You've heard the term before, living the dream. Right?
Yeah.
How are you doing? Well, I'm living the dream. That's true. Everybody is. The problem is, you're living my dream. And I'm unhappy about it. That's where the prodigal son was. He saw other people that had what he thought he wanted. They were out there getting high, getting drunk, running around, sleeping around. And he thought that's what he wanted. So he went and got it. But when he got what he wanted, he lost what he had. peace, joy, love, a home. He had none of those things out there.
That's right, brother. Amen.
You're much happier when you're thankful for what you already have than you are when you get what you think you want.
Exactly.
So just learn to be thankful for what God, that's the important thing, what God has already given you.
Amen.
If He wanted you to have anything other than that, He would have already given you that.
Amen.
Be thankful for what and who God has already given you.
Amen.
So the Father is longing for His Son who has run off, seeking things He ought not to be seeking. He's patiently yet anxiously waiting for the return of the wayward believer, prepared to give them a warm welcome.
Yes, He is. Bless His name.
Hence, the fatted calf.
Yeah.
Why do you think the Father was fattening the calf? He had to do that before the Son arrived that day. He was preparing for that day.
Yes.
God's got some great things in store for us.
Amen.
If we'll just come back to
Him.
Yes,
it. Amen.
Brother Bruce, I'm not away from God. Are you as close to Him as you should be?
Yeah, come on, preach. Amen.
Yeah. You know, I've talked to people before and I've asked them that question. How are you doing with Jesus? Well, I could be doing better.
Mm.
Next question. What are you doing about it?
Yeah, right.
We like to stop there and say, well, I could be doing a lot better. That makes us feel good about ourselves, that we recognize that. But let's go a step further.
Yeah.
What are you doing about it? If you know you should be closer to God than you are, why walk out that door without making some kind of decision to do something about it?
Amen.
What we're looking at here in Luke chapter 15 is the heart of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
What does God want? He made us for fellowship. When God made Adam, He made Adam for fellowship.
Yes.
And did.
Yes, amen.
The Bible says that they communed and walked together every day.
That's right.
Till sin came.
Yeah.
Then sin drove a wedge.
Yes.
Now all of a sudden, God comes to walk with Adam. And Adam nowhere to be found. Why is he hiding? They don't feel good about walking up to God. God is light. Light exposes sin. And when we have sin in our life, we don't want to be around God, because our sin's going to be exposed. In fact, we don't want to be around His Word either, because it does the same thing.
Right.
In fact, we don't want to be around people that might be closer to God than we are, because they might do the same thing. You know, the Bible does tell us we're supposed to exhort one another.
Yeah.
The Bible says we're supposed to help to bring them back into a right relationship with God. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yes, sir.
And when we're in sin, we know that. And I'm afraid if I get around that person, they're going to bring it up.
Yeah.
So we avoid them too. Mm-hmm. We avoid God. We avoid the Bible. We avoid church. And we avoid church-going people.
Lord, help us.
Because of our sin. And you know what God wants? He just wants us back.
Amen. Amen.
That's it. Notice also the response of the father when the older son got angry. Before we look at his response, let's look at why the older son got angry. One, he was proud. He felt like he deserved better treatment than his wayward brother.
Yeah. Wow.
Sadly, sometimes that's where we're at.
That's right.
In our minds.
Amen.
We feel, and I can prove that to you, because when you and I go through suffering, you know what we do? We ask this question, why me? Why not that person over there? They're in sin. As to say, we're not. That's the mentality of the older brother. Pride. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this pain. I don't deserve this problem. I don't deserve this financial struggle. I'm trying to live for you. I read my Bible. I pray. I go to church. These people next door, they don't do any of that, and they're just living life like it's wonderful. This isn't fair. That was the mindset of the older brother, and sadly sometimes of us. Number two, he placed high value on pleasure.
Yeah.
He said to his father, that I may make merry with my friends. Why didn't you throw me a party? He was selfish. He wanted to appease his selfishness. You know what? The truth of the matter is, probably 99% of the time that you and I have a problem with someone else, whether it be my wife, my children, my co-workers, my neighbor, a customer, it's because of selfishness on my part.
Yeah.
And if you face problems with other people relationally, it's probably due to your selfishness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was part of the problem that this older son had. His third problem was, he failed to recognize the invaluable resource at his fingertips.
Yeah.
His father said to him, all that I have is thine. He had it all. He could go to the barn and drive that tractor anytime he wanted to. Or that mule, or that ox. He could go get him a snack anytime he wanted. He could go eat anything he wanted. He had plenty.
Yeah.
He didn't lack in any field at all. But he did have to work. And that bothered him. Does it bother you? Do you complain about it? Do you wish you didn't have to? Is that why you hate Monday? That's part of God's plan. It was part of his plan for that older son to work. But he didn't like it. He wanted to party just like his brother, and I think he was envious that his brother had opportunity to go do the things that he also wanted to go do. That was his mentality. But what did the father say to him? He compassionately reminded him who he was.
Yes.
And what he had access to. That's real important. Because you and I will get to looking at people out there on the TV that seem to have it all together and have all the things that you want. And you kind of get aggravated about it. God, I'm over here suffering. I can't even hardly pay my bills, and this guy has billions of dollars. And he curses your name. Just remember who you are and what you have access to. If you're a child of the King, there's no limit to the things that God has given us. Yes, He withholds things from us, but that's a good thing.
Amen.
We don't need everything that we want. In fact, it's good that we don't have everything that we want.
Amen.
But we do have everything that we need.
Amen.
That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 to seek first the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Don't worry about these other things. Don't worry about money, as hard as that may sound.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about your food. Don't worry about your electric bill, the car payment. Concern yourself about the things of God.
Amen.
The other things are going to be taken care of.
Yes.
The heart of our Father is one of love and compassion. He wants close fellowship with us.
Yes, He does.
When we sin, when we go astray, that fellowship is broken.
Yes.
Then He sets out on a hunt to find us and to bring us back.
Yes, He does.
That's the heart of the Father.
Amen.
Where are you at today? Are you close to Him?
Amen.
Is there distance? Is there a wedge driven there? Do you look forward to spending time in prayer? Spending time in Bible study?
That's good.
Or are you avoiding it? Sometimes our sin will drive us to avoid time with our Father, our Heavenly Father. Sometimes the devil will fight us about that too.
That's right.
So when you get the devil fighting us about that and our flesh at the same time, it's likely that they're going to win. Don't let the flesh win. Feed
Amen.
The Spirit. Go push through the difficulty.
Yes, praise God.
Get on your knees.
Yes.
Open your Bible. Spend time with the Father.
Amen.
He wants us back.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for showing us a glimpse of who You are, the love and the compassion that You have for us. Lord, please help us not to forsake You for sin. Lord, help us to recognize that sin has nothing to offer in comparison to what You've already given us. Lord, help us to come back to You. I thank You for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The altar's open. Let's stand at 489.